November 18th, 2024. Please stand for prayer, remain standing, stand for pledge, and then remain standing for prayer led by Pastor Chuck Whitmire of Chapel Church.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dear Heavenly Father, in this wonderful season of Thanksgiving, we have much to be grateful for. We thank you for providing for our basic needs. We thank you, Father, for just the joy that we have found in daily life. And we pray for those who are less fortunate. Our community might be a time that we would reach out and be an encouragement to them. We lift up to you our leaders as they deliberate tonight, that their decisions will be made with integrity and wisdom. Pray for those who serve in our community so faithfully, the police and first responders, fire department, and so on. Ask that you protect them in the carrying out of their duties. And I pray that we might be a grateful people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. In the absence of our mayor, I will be chair of the meeting today. Start roll call, please.
Shire.
Here.
Frank.
Here.
Demeline.
Here.
Adams.
Here.
Dawson.
Here.
Johnson.
Here. Need approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Do we want to add the
Do you have an amendment?
We have an addition to the agenda. Go ahead, read it.
It's ordinance 27-2024. It's an ordinance temporarily prohibiting parking on Main Street between Wood Street and Adrian, and temporarily permitting parking on the east side of Wood Street between Fernwood and Palmwood, and on the east side of Adrian Street between Palmwood and Oakview. Declares an emergency. And this is for the Winterfest?
Winterfest.
For the Winterfest.
Before we vote on that, can we each make a copy of it?
You don't have a copy?
I do not have a copy.
I do not have a copy.
I thought we handed it out.
Okay. We'll have a copy for you.
Thank you.
A motion and a second to approve the agenda with the addition.
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes. I need approval of minutes from October 28th for regular meeting.
Motion to approve. Second.
I have a motion and a second.
Demeline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
I need approval for November 4th regular meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second. I have a motion and a second.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Okay. I have some public wishes to address council. We'll start with Harold Nolte. Correct, did you approach the podium, please? That way we can record this. Your item is about speed limits?
Yes, my name is Carolyn Nolte. Okay, Carolyn Nolte. I live at 223 West Main Street, which is the road that goes over the hill. And my problem is that when you come into Delta from the east, we go underneath the bridge, the railroad bridge, you get to 45, down to from 50 to 45. You go farther, it goes to 35. You get into town, it goes to 25. I 223, as I said, and when you're coming this way west into town, you've got a 50-mile speed limit right by where we live. And then where I live, which is in the middle of the hump there, there's a great big post that says, no Jake break. And then from that no Jake break, which isn't even hardly maybe a little over a city block long, it's 25 miles an hour. So guess what I get every day at that sign? A Jake break. So during the summer, the spring, the fall, I cannot have my windows open and have a conversation on the phone. I can't hear the television. I can't have a doctor or anything call me because I cannot hear them. And if I try to go to the back of the house, I have to ramp it. So if you can do that from east coming west, why can't it be done from west coming east?
I believe our speed limits dictated by the state.
Yeah, I can answer that if you, I can answer that if you like. So, ma'am, that's a state route. Mm-hmm. So ODOT is the one that sets the speed limits for that. And what they look at is they look at the number of driveways or cuts onto the state route, and they determine the speed limit based on those cuts. We don't have any jurisdiction over that speed limit.
Well, it seems like someone should be able to talk to ODOT and say, "Wow, we got a town right here. If they can do it one way, they can do it the other way. It's not that hard, and we don't have that many city blocks in Delta, Ohio."
And again, it depends on the number of driveways there. So ODOT does a study of that themselves, and I don't know what the driveway cutoff or anything is. So my guess is the driveways that are on that side, I understand what you're saying, the driveways that are on that side are probably more compressed, and that allows this the speed limit to be decreased. So ODOT just looks at the driveway spacing, and if there's a certain amount of driveways in a certain area, this is what the speed limit is.
So basically, because we're on West Main Street, and our driveways probably do not count because we're over the hill, we're not right on 28.
Yes.
There's nothing that can be done.
Well, if council would like, I could reach out. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I live right at that speed limit sign. So my husband and I, we've learned to just laugh at it because it's true. The Jake braking, the motorcycles, it's so loud. I mean, we make fun of like a Ford Explorer that goes putt, putt, putt like every day. So it's, and we're just used to it, but it is bad.
I mean, if council would like, we did this in White House about 5 years ago and approached ODOT, and it is somewhat tedious work because we have to provide them with all of the driveways and the distances and everything, and then they send somebody out. But if you'd like us to look at it, I have the contact person there. I can do that. We do that?
This was okay. Eye-opening to me because I thought, like, you guys that lived up on the hill didn't hear that kind of stuff like I did.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We hear it.
And I can even ask them if they could come in and talk to council. Okay.
That'd be cool. Yeah, let me know. I'll come back.
Okay. We'll put it on the agenda. I mean, I'll talk to them. If they're willing to come in, I'll put it on the agenda. I understand your frustration because we've gone through this in other jurisdictions.
Very frustrating. Yeah. Especially if you're getting a call from a doctor and you can't even hear them because they're not going to call you back. This is the amount of time they have for you as a patient. And if you can't hear them, that's our problem. It's not our problem, you know.
And that's, I mean, one of the reasons that, so ODOT controls this road. They're the ones that are supposed to plow it, and they repave it and everything. So it's their road, but I can have them come in. And it's, you talk about frustrating. It was very frustrating for this other municipality to try and get it reduced simply because they just look at the numbers. This is the number of driveways, this is the distance, and this is what it is. So
we also have school children that are coming home from school,
yeah.
And some of them walk between the guardrail and the street, and that's definitely not safe. That's a problem, especially when you're coming 50 miles an hour, you slam on that Jake brake, and I know they're not getting down to 25 by the time they hit that bridge. There's no way they can do that. There's no way.
Okay, I'll follow up with council.
Thank you very much.
Can they write a petition to the senator?
I'm sorry?
Can they write a petition to the senator?
Sure, they could do that.
Pressure on the state.
Mm-hmm.
Martha McGill?
Carolyn, you're way late.
I know, I'm so short. Sorry.
I hope I have as much luck as Carolyn did, that somebody will investigate my problem. I live at 219 West Main, just a couple doors down from Carolyn. And I guess my main question is about outbuildings on the properties, building permits, getting an application to move structures on your property. Because I had a neighbor Friday night that moved a big cargo container. It looks like hell. And they're gonna use it for a shed. And it's a great big like train that you see go down train tracks, a great big cargo container.
Yep.
25 foot piece of metal square up on West Main Street, looks like crap. Now, when they first started backing in the driveway, because the way my driveway is with my neighbors, they butt together like our driveways. And I said, you're not getting that, are you? And she, because she actually came to our door to ask Kevin to move his truck. So this big monstrosity of a, it was a Michigan moving company that had to move it. It's huge. And they're trying to back in, and they're like pulling out, backing in, pulling out, ripping up our driveway, property damage. They hit Kevin's truck. I had to call the police because we had damage to our property. And they're just over there trying to get this thing in, not paying no attention to us. And yes, we did get a little loud, like, God damn it, what are you doing? Stop. Kevin's like,
all of you and Kevin wanted to do that.
Who's gonna pay for my truck? Calling the police, kind of, you know, like, yes, we got upset because it was very frustrating. And they just told us to get off their property. We've been neighbors for 10 years, we've always gotten along. But I just wanna know, isn't there an application that you have to fill out? I've been reading the ordinance. There's an application you're supposed to turn into the administrator if you move any kind of large building onto your property to make sure that it complies with zoning. Plus, it's gotta be on a foundation. Do you have to have a building permit? These are all things I'm asking you guys. What can I do to either have it removed, or if it isn't removed and someone tells them that it complies with the rules, it should be on a foundation. You can't just set a great big piece of metal like that on the ground. It's gonna sink into the ground. It's gonna be all lopsided. It's gonna look like crap. It already does look like crap.
She was supposed to.
And they told me it's gonna be okay, Martha, because we're gonna paint it and it's gonna be behind the garage. And I'm like, I can see it, it looks like crap. That's like me telling you, I'm hiding behind this beanpole, you can't see me. Hello, you can see me here. I went out on my back deck tonight, and I can see it, and it looks like crap, and it diminishes the quality of our neighborhood up there.
So
This lady here that's my neighbor, a couple doors down, had to come up here and get a building permit. They put a beautiful shed on a foundation on the backyard. She's got a beautiful backyard. And then the neighbor right next to me, I don't know, I can't tell you if they got a permit or anything. But they move this piece of crap up there. Our street does not look like that, and I don't feel it should be allowed.
So I will say, in terms of permitting, it should have been an application submitted to the administrator's office. I put a shed in my own yard. I wanted to put it on one corner of my yard. I got the letter back that said you can't put it in that corner of the yard because it's technically your second front yard, and I moved it to another corner. So there is an application process that should have been followed.
That's what I was reading in the ordinance, and I'm like, I don't think they did it. Like I say, when I asked her, do you have to have a permit for that? You can't just do that.
So I guess that's a question for Mr. Sika in regards to what is the follow-up on complaints of non-permitted structures.
We have not received an application for a zoning permit for an accessory building. This would be an accessory building. Your code provides for accessory buildings. Doesn't have any limitations from my memory of reading it, because we have sheds that are being applied for, but in this case, no permit has been issued, nor received at this point in time. Though we think the woman, the Hines property, is that the Hines?
That's it.
Yes.
Made contact about the permit, but have not filed the permit.
And, well, it's there.
For a what permit? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you, what kind of permit?
It's a zoning permit.
They called about it, but never filled it out.
Yeah.
So what would their next step be?
Well, we will, excuse me, we'll take a look at the property tomorrow. And if there is an accessory building or a structure on the property, we'll notify the person to remove it. And, I anticipate that they might file the application or for a zoning permit. Then it will be judged as to where it's at on the property and, zoning code and Delta allows for accessory structures. So depending on where it is and setbacks, we'll review that application based on the zoning code.
And is there anything in there that distinguishes between, to me there's a huge difference between a shed and a trailer.
I believe your code, and I say yours, it's Delta's code, calls for accessory buildings. So it doesn't have.
Is that considered a building?
It would be.
Accessory structure?
Accessory structure. Is that the term that you were,
yeah,
you said you
in
read?
In the ordinance it says accessory structure. That's
yeah,
why I was.
That's why it's accessory structure.
Before I came up here, like,
Mark,
maybe
what's
the,
that ordinance number?
Does accessory structure apply,
I got it.
Apply to sheds as well?
1301.07.
So
a garage.
Yeah, 10 feet from the property line.
But then
five
it
feet
also
from the property line.
It depends on the zoning district and.
It is not
so.
And it's just, I would just think that it's not uniform with the residential area up there. I mean, why not a shed and a foundation? Wouldn't they have to put this big cargo thing on a foundation or else it's going to sink in the ground?
Well, there's nothing in the code that restricts that, then we can't force that.
It's got to be on a foundation, it says here.
It says, no, I'm saying the appearance of it.
Oh, the appearance of
yeah.
it?
Unfortunately, that would be more of a. An HOA style matter.
I see what you're saying, like if a, yeah. Like me saying a nice shed would be a little wooden, like, but that might be okay.
Yeah. Crap. There's no building permit requirement in Delta, so that complicates the matter also with a sheds or in this case, accessory structures, but there are. Since I've been here on the interim basis, we've had a number of applications for sheds, which are sometimes just dropped into the area. They're, you buy them, tough shed down the road or something of that sort, and they drop them in. So.
Was there anything that?
If there was enough of a uproar in the village to revise our code for that, I think it'd be something we can discuss. Appearance, footings, foundations for sheds, that kind of thing.
But actually it does have the definition of like what an appearance. Oh, come on, it's got to look halfway decent.
Right.
It can't be like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be uniform to the neighborhood.
I don't recall that language, but I certainly am not an expert on Delta.
That's what I'm saying. If our code doesn't say that, maybe we can look at
it. Okay.
Well, Ed said, go walk.
Thank you so much for looking into that, because I mean, the main reason we were really upset is they damaged our property in the process. Now, they're sitting over there with a big shed, and we are have a damaged truck and a damaged driveway that we got to call insurance about. It's just frustrating. And also, too, is there anything that we can do in that neighborhood for, like, junk sitting around your house? Because I know in the ordinance, too, everybody's supposed to comply to the rules of keeping your yard clean. I know mowing and all that. But there's junk over there.
That can absolutely be enforced. I think a complaint would have to be filed with the police department, and then that would be enforced. That's code.
I gotta go see you guys.
Give us a call.
That's the tough part, is calling down on your neighbor.
To answer your question, yes, a police report was filed about the crash. There was nothing mentioned about the property damage. I can speak with the officer. Did you mention?
I put it in my statement.
Okay. Maybe I missed something. There was a crash file, report filed, but I will check over.
I thought I put it in that statement that they damaged our driveway, too.
You probably need that for your filing.
In front of their house is a bunch of trash. There's wood pieces, huge wood pieces.
Yeah. Thank you guys for your time on this. Thanks for looking into it.
Is it Tessa? Having a hard time reading this.
Yeah.
Ms. Allard?
Tessa Allard.
Thank you.
My name is Tessa Allard. I am not from Delta. I am here to advocate for the Oakview tenants. We have had several articles in the paper regarding PK management. This one says apartment tenants in Archbold Delta expressed concerns to council. We went to the Archbold Council. The Delta residents are too scared to come talk to you because of PK and the manager. Archbold has the same manager as Delta. She's doing the same thing in Archbold. She's intimidating people. She's holding on to paperwork until it's too late and they lose their rental assistance. There is a lady over there named Heaven who has a broken back, has two children. She just got an eviction notice because they gave her a week to come up with $2,000. No. And I don't think this town would tolerate that, just like Archbold's not tolerating it. These people are scared to death to come in here. I've got pictures, this is a multi-complex, multi-state problem. HUD just took them to court for almost $500,000 because PK was receiving HUD funds for tenants that no longer live there, but they didn't tell HUD that. Now, I don't know if that's going on here. I spoke with another board member in Poughkeepsie, New York, who the apartment complex was owned and managed by PK management. They had to embarrass them to get a PK to do fixing of anything. They had to completely humiliate. I have that article also. The tenants at Oakview, I took notes over there a couple weeks ago about the Archbold City Council meeting because I wanted to prove a point to Archbold. It's not just Archbold's complex. Wasion's going through it. Delta's going through it. Anywhere PK owns property, this is how they're treating people. They threaten you. They'll hold your paperwork until it's too late and you'll lose your assistance or you'll get an eviction notice. Oh, here's a good one. 10 people got eviction notices because the manager lost the rent. How do you lose the rent in 4 feet? It's 4 feet from where the drop box is to her desk.
Not to cut you short, but it seems like your complaint may be of a criminal sort. Can you help us out with this?
I'm trying to think. So, I don't know.
He's doing this everywhere.
I'm not defending what they're doing.
Right.
But I don't see how this council has any jurisdiction whatsoever.
Oakview is in the city limits. There are city laws that PK has to follow.
What laws do you think they're breaking?
Well, if they won't live on their property, you wouldn't want to be treated like that. There's doors that have cracks in them and wind just, I have pictures, there's mold, there's, and they won't fix it. They will not fix it.
But those are civil actions between a tenant and a landlord, and the law does provide mechanisms where tenants can force those by putting their rent in escrow. They can force the landlord to.
They're too scared to do anything. That's the problem.
But I don't
see. What am I supposed to do? Coming to the city to advocate for those tenants. What am I supposed to? Well, there's nothing that can be done. They're scared to death of PK and Jennifer.
I'm not saying again that you're wrong. This council doesn't have jurisdiction over a civil complaint.
The council does have jurisdiction over how the people in their town can and cannot be treated.
No, you're wrong.
We can hear your complaint, but we don't enforce laws.
Yeah.
I know you don't enforce laws, just like Archibald doesn't enforce laws, but it at least puts some pressure on PK because they shouldn't be treating people this way. Do you want to be afraid of going home just because you went grocery shopping? These people are, I'm afraid to go home. And I live in one of the complexes. We run from our vehicle into the house. We don't want maintenance to see us. We don't want the managers to see us. They'll scream at us. They'll harass us. They'll, no.
Bad.
We don't want bad. We want to go home and have peace. That's what all you have. These people at Oakview don't. This is one of the few places they can get some kind of help. Or lead me in the right direction and tell me where I need to go.
Well,
the mayor of Archibald told me to come here.
I think making a public statement is a good start. I know the media's here to hear all what you're saying.
I mean, we've got eviction notices out there that people have to leave. And it was because Lainey, her rental assistance got denied because Jennifer kept her paperwork too long, and now her rent is $1,170. That's more than for Social Security. You can't do that to people.
My suggestion would be that you contact what's called ABLE, Advocates for Basic.
Yeah, I did that.
Okay.
Good luck.
Well, again, there's nothing.
This
council, as a law director, I would tell them that they should not be involved in a civil matter. And by them telling this landlord how to act, I think we would be exposing ourselves to
it's not telling the landlord how to act. It is illegal for them to threaten to raise rent.
That's a civil matter. This council is not involved in civil matters.
So they're just SOL is what you're telling me.
No, I'm telling you.
You're just coming to the wrong body.
Yeah.
I think you need to go to HUD.
We have one.
Then I would contact my senator.
Yep.
We've done that as of today.
Well, we have a meeting on Thursday with another newspaper. Apparently, senators and congressmen read that, but I was kind of hoping to come here and get some kind of resolution because these people shouldn't have to live like that. You just, if you won't live out there, think about that for a second. If you would not live in an apartment out there because of the conditions, but this whole town is okay with people being treated like that. Heaven's got two minor children.
It's not okay. We don't advocate for it.
She just had that 30-day notice.
We don't have the authority to oversee any civil matters. We are the village council.
Well, how come the mayor and Archibald and the village administrators and the village council?
We are sitting here representing.
Are setting up a meeting.
We are your representation to this village.
And Oakview's in this village.
We have the same legal jurisdiction as any resident in this village.
But Oakview's in this.
We can't enforce laws. You need a judge.
So they're just SOL?
No, they're not. We just can't help them. This body of people cannot help these people with their concern. You are advocating for them, which is beneficial for them.
Well, somebody has to, and
right.
I'm not afraid. Unfortunately, God bless me.
Can I suggest something to you? Have you tried, where are the TV stations? Like, investigate Channel 11.
Yeah.
When they come out.
They wouldn't come out.
What?
They sent the health department out. Do you know what the health department said? I said, well, let me send out notes so people know that you're coming. Because they're not going to come out of their apartment. Do you know what the health department said to me?
Okay. Ms. Allen.
We don't want that.
Huh.
Ms. Allard, I need to call time on your complaint. I appreciate your concerns.
Thank you.
Bring it to us. Megan, would you like to address this as well?
Yeah. All right. Hi, guys. I'm just like Tessa. I came from Archbold. I'm a tenant. I deal with the same problems these guys do. I've actually received eviction notices like they have. I don't get maintenance done over there or anything. I have talked to the Civil Rights Commission. I do have a case with them currently against PK. I have talked to HUD. I've gone through senators. I have talked to so many people. What do you suggest I do to help move this forward for them? Because a lot of them are absolutely terrified.
Put their rent in escrow.
But how do we do that? We're not allowed to send out notes.
PK, yeah, we are not allowed to talk to each other anymore.
You put the rent in escrow with the court.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a procedure where you put the rent in escrow with the court. The court then assigns an investigator that goes out and investigates and then determines whether or not the rent should be given to the landlord or should be used to repair or deal with issues with the landlord. So I can't, if people are, I don't say that they shouldn't be afraid, but if they're not going to stand up for themselves by putting it in escrow, there's nothing that can be done. As the councilperson said, this is a civil action up to a judge.
How do we go about getting the information out to the tenants? We have been told out in East Garden we are not to pass notes to tell anybody to do anything. We are not to pass information of any kind to each other. It's been the same here now. We are not to talk to each other, not to send information to each other via notes of any kind. How do we pass the information on to other tenants so they know what to do?
I guess my question for you just in regards to this is, if that's not written contractually into your leases, then that's not against the
law. They are saying that we are soliciting and it is against the law.
I can show you the last note we hung up on the doors, and all it said was city council meeting. When? Where? Please come talk about PK. It's time
to
hear.
Can we approve temporary solicitation in that neighborhood?
I mean, but it's not really, it's not solicitation.
Not
right, you're not selling anything.
Can you mail it?
Yeah, or give them a call.
Well, we don't have, there's 77 apartments in Archbold, and I don't even know how many out here. We don't have everybody's email.
I mean, there's mailboxes for every apartment, correct?
Yes, there are.
But it's illegal for you to put mail on there, or my son's like...
No, you have to paper post it. If you have the complex number, I mean, you would have to write a piece of mail to each individual, but you can very easily write a piece of mail, get it delivered to those apartments, and every resident would get that information that you wanted to have spread out.
All right.
It cost you the cost of stamps times 77. But
I've got a bunch of stamps.
That would be my recommendation if you wanted to avoid the posting of things, and that would ensure every apartment gets the information you're trying to give them.
All right, guys, I really appreciate it.
Welcome. Any other visitors? Subcommittees? Nothing. Okay, moving on to old business.
Wait.
I need to talk to the administrator.
Newbie.
Skip right over correspondence. That should be old.
Correspondence first?
Yes, sir. Correspondence?
First. Since the last meeting, the village has been served with a court, I guess, suit between and Andrew Glenn and the Village of Delta. That's you've been summoned and turned over to our attorney and law director. And so that I just want to make sure that council is aware of that.
Is this the same one?
Just get it on the record here. So, second matter, Councilman Johnson, you sent me an email regarding some conditions in the park. All those have been taken care of, except for the badly damaged shelter house. So that will be a little bit more long term, and we'll have to assess how that can be handled. But
all the
four other items, yeah.
All the vinyl soffit structures have been, they're hanging now.
Yeah.
They just need to be replaced.
That's the only thing that hasn't been taken care of yet, so I just wanted to make that be aware.
I've heard complaints that there's animals living in the roof structure that, Bob did look at that. He couldn't confirm whether or not they were up there, but when winter gets here, I'm sure the raccoons and the squirrels will make a nice little mess up there.
We're open to a lot of different, no, well, the department will look at after. No, I just wanted to report that the four of the five items had been taken care of, you know, by the department. And that's in the street department that was handling that, you know, so. And finally, we did receive today a from the U.S. Charitable Gift Trust, a check for $2,400 to be used for improvements to sidewalks from parking lot to sport fields so that they are handicap accessible, must use within year 2025. So I think, Councilman, you might have been aware of this at the last meeting. That did you? This is $2,500 that was coming in, or if not,
I was not.
We got $2,500. The village got a gift of $2,500 to be used for sidewalks from parking lot to the sports field. So we'll be meeting with the park board to understand what this work would be, and
we meet in 2 days.
No, I do it wouldn't, but I'll I'm blunt, I can be. But I'll informed the Neil Tedro, and maybe Matt will come along with him like that. What time is the meeting again?
6 o'clock here.
6 o'clock. U.S. Charitable Gift Trust in recognition of Catherine Moore on Cascade Lane. Do we need to accept this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we probably...
just an oral motion.
A motion to accept the donation.
On the terms that they provided.
Can we get a copy of that?
Sure.
Just like read it. I'm sure it's fabulous and I'm really excited by the sound of it. I just don't want to vote on something I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Drew's gonna get copies.
This is the same. Right. We had discussed they had donated prior and we didn't. We had returned the money, yes. And so she's, now she's giving it back. Okay.
You returned the money?
Because they didn't make the improvement.
Yeah.
We didn't?
They want a sidewalk from the police department.
I forgot.
Parking lot to the ball fields.
Oh, like the previous donation was like $250.
Yeah, it wasn't as much.
It wasn't enough to do the improvements they want.
Well, this sounds like it's. They're not requiring that it can be used with the park board as long as it's for handicap.
We'll make things wheelchair accessible.
And that check just came in today, so.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Will this be put in the, there's a donation
Yes.
Anything else, Administrator?
No, that's the only correspondence that we received.
Anything from the Law Director?
Nothing from the Law Director. I don't know if the Administrator has anything more under his, as opposed to correspondence.
Yes, I do. In your packet, I submitted a memo to you describing where we are in putting together the fiscal year 2025 appropriations for the Village of Delta. What I provided to you, and along with the Finance Director and staff, is a brief rundown of where the budget is at this particular time, and a concept of what we would like to move forward with. One, this is based on the assumption or presumption that council would change the distribution of income tax funds to 1% to the general fund and 0.5% to the water fund. Currently, you have that distributed to the general fund, to the parks, etc. And even in doing that, the fund are looking at the general fund. Our expenses are still going to exceed availability of funds available. The second point that I want to mention is, and this is slightly different than what has been budgeted in the past, and that is the police department funds. We are proposing to move the majority of the fund to the general fund from the police department. Now you might say, well, hold it, we're in a bad shape to begin with. Why are you doing that? But the police department has been receiving transfers from the general fund to the police department fund. So we're going from 101 to 290 fund. And because of the size of the transfer, I'm recommending that you keep the general fund portion in the general fund and budgeted to the police department. So on the second page, you will see the general fund expenses for 2025 that is attached. You'll see that we're looking at total expenses from the police department at 110 would exceed about $959,000. We're still leaving in the 290 fund, which you'll find on the first page, is the property tax that the police department has a special levy for, which is running about $240,000 a year. That money would stay in the special property tax fund. That's by law, you know, so we have to keep that. And we're considering that expenses there would be mostly at your capital expenses, police cruiser, et cetera. And in this case, the funding of one additional police officer, which would have to be funded out of the 290 fund. So I want to highlight that the shifting here of attention is to look at your general fund, and that's where we are putting your expenses for the police department. You'll see that is the largest department in expenditure in your general fund. So just to explain the difference in budgeting. Going back, we can look at our concern, of course, is the general fund. And the second portion that we're really concerned about, and we've been looking at this all year long for 24, is the 502 fund, is the sewer fund. which with the information that has been supplied by the superintendent there and with experiences that we're seeing, their expenses are expected to be around $1.2 million in sanitary sewer, and that includes your, I was going to go with the combined sewer overflow, but that's a separate account. The sanitary sewer is running about almost $400,000 less than expected revenues. Now, the sanitary sewer is coming from your water bill, which is an additional part of the water bill. The water, you know, obviously the water rates were adjusted in 23, I don't believe at that time you adjusted, council adjusted the sanitary sewer, but the results of it are, these expenses are not overly padded, the 1.2. So we're looking at what happens is if the rates aren't adjusted, well, there's three alternatives that we have. One, we increase the rates. Two, we transfer the money from the general fund, which right now we're not projecting to be within the revenues. And and we can't allow it to run into a deficit, you know. So that's a violation and subject to audits. And next year you will have an audit, and the auditors, you don't want to go there. So we are highlighting for consideration that in looking at the sewer funds, that currently the first 100 cubic feet of service that provided is not based on the user expense, but just the fixed fee. And we're recommending for council consideration to take a look at applying the sewer rates to that first 100 cubic feet of service, which would result in a bill of $12.75 more for sewer service annually for a residential that doesn't use or uses 100 cubic feet of water. So that would raise, if everybody used 100 cubic feet, at least an additional $129,000 approximately. That would help take care of the beginning to look at taking care of the deficit in the sewer fund. The other funds that we have in the red on the balance, we believe that there is a sufficient cash balance in the that will be available in the year end to balance out that those red figures, which is not a good thing overall. You shouldn't be living on cash balance, particularly in the water sewer funds. Since those are enterprise funds, they should be living within the rates. That's ideal. Again, those are the going back at the general fund and the sewer fund are our major concerns. The general fund with the additional income tax, we're still leaving that, and if we have to move the funds from the general fund to the sewer fund, that number up on top for the general fund difference of minus $237,000 approximately would be increased by what we're projecting to be the shortfall in the enterprise fund for sewers. So again, that's just a brief update with the fund. We are working under the belief that that we will present to you a temporary budget for 25 to be at either the first or second meeting in December. We'll ask that it be passed on an emergency basis. And the reason for the temporary budget is we would like to take a look at the cash balances at the year end and then come back and do your final budget. We anticipate that there should be a cash balance in the general fund to help with these and help your making the decision, particularly on our recommendation on the sewer. That will give you a better understanding and a picture of that. So just to highlight that that's the direction we're going on the on a temporary budget, and then in January, hopefully by the end of beginning of February, a final budget will be presented to council for consideration, taking into effect those cash balances. Just another heads up, staff is working, Jenna and Marlene, will be working on putting together for your first review of 2024, the necessary transfer ordinance that we will need to transfer the funds. Some of these transfers we can make within the jurisdiction of the finance director, but we can't make transfers between wages and other expenses without council's approval. So that's by law. And so we'll be making those recommendations. Hopefully we have that on for at least the first reading. We'll need it passed before the end of the year. Otherwise, we're in villages and pretty gonna get a really hand slapped on the from the state auditors. So we have to balance this budget. So that's just giving you a rundown. I would like any feedback that you have in the direction that we're moving, because this would help us in order to want the feedback on the changing the income tax distribution to place it all in the general fund, and with the exception of the water fund, which we know we're now keeping at 0.5%, you know, some.
I would want to say that it's, the way you describe it is encouraging, rather than dividing it into a multitude of complexities. Put it all in one fund.
Yeah. Well, our concern is that it will, if we are not able to distribute reallocate the full 1% of your 1.5% to the general fund, we have to come back with a different picture. And we might have to spread expenses, particularly for personnel, in multiple different funds. And it's not the easiest way to keep track of it, but it doesn't change the picture. You know, the bottom line is the wastewater treatment plant is still, we're projecting a near $400,000 deficit, and the general fund, we're still looking at the transfer to the police department. But if it's not in the general fund, if we put those expenses into the 290 fund, it's still going to require a transfer from the general fund. So it just means that we're more reliance on your expected cash balance at the end of the year for next year. So
I don't think I have an issue with the change in distribution. I would love to have rate studies in place before we decide to tinker with the sewer charges, mainly because we're talking about $12 here. There's an item on the agenda tonight talking about potentially $24 there every month, and suddenly there's $36, $40 every month that residents have fixed incomes. And I don't know that I'm ready to do that without all the data points.
Yeah. Again, we're just bringing it, right. Give you I'm open to suggesting any type of alternatives that you might have and ideas. This was just one idea, you know, so.
Do we have money in there for the rate study?
I'm sorry?
Do we have money budgeted to do the rate study?
That, we would probably lean on the water fund to do that, and we'd have to squeeze some more out of the, we'll look at some of the other funds that, the 401, which is a capital fund. I'm not sure we can do that there, but we're beginning to get quotes for the weight study. We don't have, I don't have an estimate, so.
I think you need Marlena.
Invoices.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't call it.
I'm just looking for an approval for the invoices.
Motion to approve.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demoy?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Anything from any other council members, subcommittees? Lynn?
Nope.
Moving on to old business. Ordinance 20-2024, third reading.
Ordinance 20-2024 is an ordinance authorizing a contract with the Public Defenders Commission of Fulton County for the representation of indigent defendants in ordinance-only cases filed by the Village of Delta.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion in the second.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demoy?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes. It's 27-2024, part of the business.
Yes.
For temporary parking.
Mm-hmm.
A new business. We'll do an order. Ordinance 25-2024.
Ordinance 25-2024 is an ordinance specifying the approval of the Village Council, Village of Delta, Fulton County, of the pending annexation number 2024-3 of Heidi Bowman, Roger Bowman, Amy Bowman, and Cody Bowman to annex property to the Village of Delta, Fulton County, Ohio, and it declares an emergency.
I'd ask council just to give this a first reading. I think that you've gotten the information. We were not, at least I was not, and I don't think Mr. Sika was aware of this annexation petition until we got it. We received it from Matt Gilroy. I talked to Mr. Sika when it first came in, and it appears that these property owners are going to be marketing their property in the future commercially, and they felt it would be in their best interest to be in the Village of Delta. So I would urge you to reach out to Matt if you had any questions. We're not aware of what, if anything, is specifically being planned. Now that you have all the information, if we give this a first reading, when it's in front of you next time, we have 20 days from the day they filed the petition, which I think was November 10th or something like that. So we have enough time to look at it. So we obviously just want to make sure, you know, it's not a hazardous waste facility or something like that. But so if we could just give that a first reading today, you guys can consider it the next meeting.
Frank?
Yes.
Demoy?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes. Ordinance 26-2024, first reading. Get the title.
Ordinance 26-2024 is an ordinance declaring certain property as surplus and not needed for any municipal purpose.
And this is just that one vehicle, correct?
It is.
So.
Second.
Which vehicle? Prius.
2007 Toyota Prius that was abandoned at our impound lot.
Okay. I have a motion and a second.
Dunaway?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Resolution 14-2024, emergency.
Resolution 14-2024 is a resolution awarding a contract for refuse collection services and authorizing the village administrator to execute an agreement and declaring an emergency.
Do you have any recommendations to us?
Council, the bids were received on November 8th. We received three bids from ARS, that's our your current provider, Stevens and Klum. The attached are a summary of the bids and some of the options that we requested in the specifications regarding the possibility of providing carts for waste in the village. Going from the bag collections to carts. So the recommendation that I put together for your consideration, and while I drafted this as an emergency, we need to have an agreement sometime before January 1st with the understanding that we need some time to, if there is a change in vendor, to have time for the administration of that change, whether or not we could negotiate with the current vendor is still up in the air, but that's the reason for the emergency recommendation. The recommendation that I put together in this resolution is the option one from ARS, and that recommendation is accepting their bid of collecting refuge bags at $2.50 per bag, and giving the homeowner or households a option to rent a cart for their at $24 a month, which would be billed by ARS to the resident. But the other part of this would be the households would be provided a cart for recycling if they want to recycle. But this would be a mandatory cart for recycling, so at that expense. So it the reason in my recommendation was that this would introduce carts to the village, hopefully, as time goes on, you will see the industry coming forward with the carts as the preferred way of providing this type of service. So this would, again, just give the village resident an opportunity to rent a cart for trash if they so desire, $24 a month, which they would arrange with ARS, and you can maintain the bag program. We'll still sell the tags, though we were asking that the tags be sold at $2.75. That goes back to our discussion on the budget, because any shortfall in that service is coming out of the general fund. And we're getting mandatory, if the resident wants to recycle, They would notify us or the ARS, and a cart would be provided to them, probably a 65-gallon cart for recycling. So that's the recommendation.
Would there be a charge for the recycling cart?
No.
Will the recycling cart look different compared to their brown ones?
You're asking a very technical
problem.
And the answer would be yes. There would be a difference between a trash and a recycling cart. More than likely, a change in the color of the lids. But I'm sure Michelle, who's sitting in the audience, would like to have a chance to tell you about the service.
Please. Oh, thank you. I am Michelle Ryder. I'm Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Archibald Refuge Service. It's a privilege to service your community. Just want to start with that. We've been servicing you guys for the 13-plus years I've been with the company, so I know it goes way back before I even started with the company that long ago. Your community is important to us. We understand your community. We know your roads. We know where your schools are. We've got it down. And we hope that you are as happy with our service over the last many, many years as we are to provide it to you. You might have a little confusion when you say you get a cart for recycling but not for trash. Okay, it's kind of a little bit of a backwards approach. However, the benefits are twofold. Delta is an avid recycling community. Okay, you guys rock when it comes to recycling. Kudos to you guys. It's clean. I don't hear from the recycling center about contamination. You guys really got it going on. So kudos to the community. The issue is when everyone sets everything out at the curb and it's in boxes and bags and this and that, it is difficult to decipher what is supposed to go in what waste stream. Okay, so the cart is twofold. Number one, it cleans up a lot of that extra stuff that's sitting on the side of your curb every week. It does go in the cart. The cart will have a yellow lid, so it would differentiate from the trash, would have a dark black lid. And it also helps get that recycling, keeps it into the recycling stream. So things aren't accidentally tossed into the trash because the guy goes, well, I think it looks like recycling, but I'm not sure. The other reason it's a benefit is because you don't have to take the cart right now. So if you want to stay with the bag program, I'm a senior citizen, I put out one 30-gallon bag a week, I still get to buy my ticket and set it out. If I want to recycle, then I would have to have a cart for that. Households that size, and listen, I'm not saying that senior citizens do not recycle, so please do not misquote me there. But households,
yes, I do.
That, yes, so households that small typically will have not as much recycling, or they will have no recycling at all because a lot of their stuff is
going to be in.
However, you can put your bag of trash out once every 3 weeks if that's what you want to do, and then you can still get your cart for recycling. Everybody that wants a cart for recycling gets a cart for recycling. If they don't want a cart on their property, no room, won't use it, I don't recycle, then they don't have to take it.
So I guess my one question is let's go to the opposite end of that. Let's say you got a property that produces more recycling in that 2 week period than one cart. What is it just still set it out in their own cart that they've had? Is it set it out the way it has been? What would that change look like for the resident?
They would contact us and we would go ahead and arrange to get them another cart. They could have as many carts on the property as they need to accommodate. 65 gallons sounds small. We've done the studies. It does accommodate a lot of recycling on the two times a month. The average household by volume produces more, here in Delta, produces more recycling than they do trash. 65 should hold that. Should it not, they would contact us. We would arrange to get a second cart out to them. So it's a nice way to...
Because I know my recycling on the, when we have to go 3 weeks.
3 weeks is a, yeah.
Yeah, if it doesn't, like I wouldn't need two carts normally. But those 3 weeks I might have extra. Could we still set it out or find alternate ways to?
There's
There would be two things we can look at, and I can go ahead and double back with the administrator on this. We can look at leaving that on the side we prefer. It's going to be a carded system, but I understand what you're saying. Those 3 weeks, what, twice a year, three times a year, it does get a little long. So we can work on those, or we can talk about going potentially. I could go back to operations and say, can we just go every other week? And then that takes that factor out a little bit.
Is the operation, the cart system, does that take out the aspect of a person collecting it by hand? Do you have a mechanism that takes the can?
It does.
Automated?
It does.
Stuff on the ground isn't going to be grabbed.
Stuff on the ground, well.
It's not in the cart, it's on the ground.
Recycling would have to be in the cart, yes. And a couple other communities are going through this and making this transition right now. It's really about maximizing your cart space. If you want to throw boxes in that aren't broke down or folded down, you're going to run out of room. If you are smart about it, the 65-gallon is sufficient, so.
Can you opt for a smaller one?
For
a
smaller
one? I do a lot of recycling, yeah. But a 65-gallon one I wouldn't fill up for at least a month and a half.
Just wait till you take it out then.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I know, but now I got to find room for a 65-gallon container.
It's only the one size for recycling is standard. And I don't want to take up too much time. Any questions, any additional questions, I'm happy to answer.
Yep. What about the unlimited pickup? I didn't hear anybody address that one yet.
The village pays for that service.
Yeah.
I'll cover it.
What do you mean?
You're going to suspend?
To suspend?
Need a motion to suspend. I'll second the suspension.
Okay. Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
I have a motion to make final on this first reading.
Well, don't we have to say which option we're picking? I mean,
1424 it's just the change in tag pricing, I believe, is what we're currently voting on.
Oh, okay.
I think we're authorizing the administrator to make an agreement. And he's going to make that agreement based on a recommendation, not our vote. Does that sound right?
That's correct. And Kevin will be reviewing that agreement.
I'll make a motion to make it final.
I'll second. I have a motion and a second.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Resolution 15-2024 on emergency provisions.
Resolution 15-2024 is a resolution indicating the Village of Delta, Fulton County, Ohio, will provide utilities and police protection services to certain property titled to Heidi Bowman, Roger Bowman, Amy Bowman, and Cody Bowman, which holders are seeking annexation of said property pursuant to Fulton County Annexation Petition Number 2024-3 to the Village of Delta. And you want a first reading?
On record, would this go in
first reading?
Coincide with the ordinance for the annexation to go first reading?
That is exactly correct. So first reading would be fine.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second.
I have a question. Do we already have water and sewer lines there at that property?
If we don't, we're not required to put them there. This just says that if the lines go there, then we have to offer them service. But I don't know the answer to your question.
Okay.
The answer is no.
I'm sure we don't, but I just wanted to check.
Yeah, we're not going to be, we're not required to add them.
Gotcha, thank you.
I think they cross one, do you know? I would say they go under 109 on a diagonal, off the top of my head, but, you know.
The water line is going to be extended as part of the Loves down, what, County Road H to the back of their property, so I think these properties abut against the Love, proposed Love development, so.
That's why we can annex them.
And that's probably why they're looking to annex to the city, to the villages to get the water.
A motion and a second.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
And resolution 27-2024 for temporary parking during.
Ordinance 27-2024, an ordinance temporarily prohibiting parking on Main Street between Wood Street and Adrian Street, and temporarily permitting parking on the east side of Wood Street between Fernwood and Palmwood, and on the east side of Adrian Street between Palmwood and Oakview, and declaring an emergency.
Motion to suspend.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to suspend.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
I got a question on this. Why are we doing it from, is this just for the parade?
It would be the parade and the Winter Fest, which starts at 2:30. We're not allowing parking on Main, or we wouldn't want a lot of parking on Main Street. That way everybody can see the parade, and that's why we're asking for these additional parking spaces. That's what council voted on last year, and it seemed to work out well. That's followed suit.
I guess Chamber talks to the businesses uptown in Mavola, part of them on a Friday night. Okay, yes.
It should be on a Saturday.
Or Saturday. So most of the businesses are closed at noon on Saturday, so it won't affect them.
The parking lot is still available, correct?
It is.
Last vote, Johnson?
Yes.
So I have a 6-0 for that.
I don't think you vote.
He said yes.
Motion made final. I need a motion to make it final on this first reading. That was, I need a second.
Second.
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes. Need a motion to go into executive session in accordance with ORC 121.22, to consider the employment of a public employee.
So move.
Second.
At 6:48.
Who would you like? Who would you?
Who's Collins?
I think if we could have both Mr. Seika and I.
Administrator and law director.
Thank you.
We are not expecting action on that, that's correct.
Not from our end, no.
Thank you.
I think you made a motion.
I was just thinking you made one.
We need to vote on that.
Demeline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yep.
Frank?
Yes.
EMA board session at 7:24 PM.
Second.
Third.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yep.
Frank?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Okay. Chief, acting chief?
Just two quick things. We hired
Officer Robert Lehman, November 5th. And also, we just today we listed the 2010 Crown Vic and the pickup truck. It's at the impound lot on Gov Deals. So that's all I got.
Does that pickup truck run?
Excuse me?
Does that pickup truck run?
It did when we stopped him about 2 years ago.
So the fuel tank's running out.
I think somebody will more than likely buy it because of the tools in the toolbox.
Oh.
And the catalytic converter in the bed of the truck.
Is that why you stopped him?
It wasn't me.
Isn't that where they're supposed to be?
What happened with the guy who was moving?
Oh, the band with all the stuff on it?
Yeah.
You want to be that on?
He doesn't care if he gets fired.
So he was living in Defiance, and the township trustees end up having to buy two commercial trucks to remove all of his stuff after he moved out.
I got a call from the township zoning official to say, warn me about he's moving into
1100 Maplewood, which is not, not our jurisdiction. And my understanding, the sheriff has already been out to have a discussion with him, so the sheriff himself. So.
How do we do this?
Do you want to set a meeting then? A special meeting? There would be a motion in a second and then a vote on that for the meeting.
I'll make a motion that we have a special meeting on Thursday, November 21st at 5:30 p.m. To
interview applicants for the administrator's position.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Are there any other questions related to today's proceedings? Any motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Demline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.